Hi, I'm Miss Wanda, and this is Full Circle. Girlfriend, this is a place where you and I can connect. It's a show that embraces a 360-degree look at womanhood. It's our voice, our perspective, it's what we care about, and it's how we feel. Empowerment through conversation is what it is. This is Full Circle.
Family, welcome to another edition of Full Circle. I'm your host, Miss Wanda. So happy to be in the building with you today because we are kicking off a brand new series. It is called the Full Circle Wealth Wisdom Series, featuring the one and only Tiffany Sharp, a licensed attorney, 20 years experience, and she's pivoted her business into something new. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that Full Circle is being sponsored by Tapping with Dr. Gigi. So make sure that you check out Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Tapping, also called Emotional Freedom Technique, can really help you with some of the things you may be struggling with, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's addiction. Dr. Gigi has an amazing story, actually, and if you want to go back to Miss Wanda's Full Circle Radio on your favorite podcasting platform, you can hear the story of how she came into tapping and how it helped her in her recovery. So thank you so much to Dr. Gigi. Also, Full Circle is being sponsored by Serendipity Innovation, a woman-owned, Black woman-owned technology firm that can help you with your business, whether you are building a website, whether you want to create an app, e-commerce, or so much more. Make sure you check out Serendipity Innovation. They have got you covered in all of this. Make sure you tell them that you heard it on Full Circle. Now, we're going to jump right into this because we have got a lot of content to get through. So like I said, we are kicking off the Full Circle Wealth Wisdom Series, and we have friend to the show, expert Tiffany Sharp. She is the founder of T-Sharp Legacy and Wealth Council and the independent firm T-Sharp Wealth Management LLC. She has over 20 years of experience as a licensed attorney, and recently she's decided to pivot her business. I want to hear a little bit about that pivot and let you know, too, it's never too late to pivot. It's never too late to pivot your business, pivot your life.
That part.
Yes, you know, so Tiffany's here. Tiffany, thank you for being here.
And
thank you for saying yes to this.
I will always say yes to you, Miss Wanda. Always, always. You are doing such amazing things, and you're like one of my favorite people anyway.
Yay.
I love coming here. So thank you for always allowing me to share the space with you, and just happy to be here and talk about some really important things for our community and just wealth readiness general.
Yeah. Tiffany is an amazing, and we're going to talk about her career and, like I said, how she got to this pivot. But I also want to do a quick PSA real quick. I love y'all. I love the Full Circle family. And I posted this post on Instagram that I was the official speaker coach for TEDx Folsom. Nobody saw the speaker coach. Everybody was like, yes, you are doing a speech. And I am not doing a speech.
Not yet.
But my friend Tiffany is. So I wanted to just do a PSA, like, I'm the coach. I feel like Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, one of his first albums was like, he's the DJ, I'm the rapper. I'm like, I'm the coach, she's the speaker. I'm coaching, but that's preparing me for being on the stage someday. Okay, so got that out the way, that quick little PSA. But Tiffany, reintroduce yourself to anyone that may not have heard you on any of our past times together.
Yeah, so my name's Tiffany Sharp. I am a licensed attorney of over 20 years, and I've been in private practice for, been in private practice for 20 years now. April 27th, 2004, I started my law practice. And as you mentioned, I did make a pivot. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll chat about that. What I do now is I have centered my focus on legacy and wealth planning, particularly for women in what I call undervalued communities. So I try not to use the term underrepresented. Mm-hmm. I like the term undervalued because I do financial work, and we're looking at communities that obviously have value, just aren't recognized value. So I work with women and people from undervalued communities, and establishing legacy and wealth planning. So what does that actually mean? Estate planning, and we'll talk about that, and we'll have a whole show dedicated to that, I believe, in the coming up months. But estate planning, estate administration, business formation and development. So if you're starting a business or you have a business and need legal guidance or even just planning of that, I've got a course on a self-paced course, you know, writing your business plan that you can go through as well. And so I do startups and development and business. And real estate investing. I think last time I was here, I got my real estate license. Mm-hmm. I've since deactivated that because there's so many wonderful real estate agents that I know and work with that are better equipped to handle the day in and day out. So mm-hmm. I work with real estate investing because that's an opportunity. That's a yeah. wealth building opportunity. If it's right, I will preface that yeah. and say if it's right. Because, you know, investment properties and rental properties, people call them passive income. There's nothing passive about right. it. So I say if it's right, if you have the time, if it's a right fit. So I do work with you and determine if it's a right fit for you, also financially. And then more recently, I decided to go ahead and take the leap into the financial field. And I'm never one to just dip my toe in. I've decided to go full in. Mm-hmm. So I became Series 65 licensed and worked a little bit with a registered investment advisory firm and decided I really want to be able to provide the kind of services to the kind of folks that I believe really need it. And part of my TED Talk, as you mentioned, is about that as well. And so started my own registered, my state registered independent advisory firm called Teeth Sharp Wealth Management. Registered with the state. I'm a financial fiduciary, as they call it.
Okay.
And again, work with our undervalued communities mm-hmm. and women to become financially fit, I like to say. So it's not, there's a component of financial coaching, but we're getting into the numbers, right? We're getting yeah. to your spending, your investments, doing investment analysis, savings analysis, all of that good stuff. And with the added component of I teach you how to manage your funds. Yeah. Rather, you know, a lot of investment advisors do get into it because they like to take that 1% of your investments. I don't do that. I want to teach you how to do that. Yeah. You can keep your 1%. Pay me a little more if you decide to rehire me the next year. But I want to teach people how to manage their money, right? Because that's one of the issues with the wealth gap. There's so many, but one yeah. of them is lack of financial literacy. Yeah. And so my goal is to help you get to the point where you're able to do it yourself. And so I started T-Sharp Wealth Management to do that. And then on top of that, I really wanted to understand how mindset and even generational traumas impact our spending and financial decisions that we make. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I really, you know, I'm an attorney by nature. I'm very analytical. And so I wanted to approach that from a data perspective. And then more recently became an accredited behavioral finance professional.
Wow.
So that I can be able to understand and contribute, because there's not a lot of data on how there's data on how past experiences, but not in dealing with communities that have been historically suppressed mm-hmm. and marginalized within the United States, and how that actually impacts not just wealth earning capacity, but yeah. what we do with our money when we get it and those decisions that we make, and how that is either positively or adversely impacting our ability as individuals and as a community to obtain and maintain wealth.
Yeah.
So that's what I've got going on.
Man, you really did go all in.
I'm having a blast. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, it's like what you do. You get to a point where you understand this is where I am supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is the moment in time that I need to be in it. And so I made the pivot at the right time.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah. When I first met you, you were practicing like international law yeah. and all of that. What was the thing that made you decide to transition into this? Because I think this is a wonderful space, and I'm hearing you talk and I'm just thinking like, yes, I want someone that looks like me, because I trust you. You know, I'll have a different level of trust starting point with someone that looks like me that can help me with, you know, money is a very sensitive topic. So if I can have someone that I can relate to on that level, now I'm going to be more open to your education and your advice because we already have that thing in common versus like just yesterday, my agency hosted these series of workshops, and the gentleman that was teaching the workshop, we were all on Microsoft Teams, but I knew that he was a white gentleman, and nothing against him, but the level of he thought that we were coming in with this level of understanding. He was talking about taxes too, and the level of understanding, and he's throwing out all these acronyms, and people are like, "What's that? What's this?" You know. So he's already put that barrier between us. And, you know, for me, I'm like, I don't want to go to you because you don't even want to take the time to explain because you're coming from a different point of view than where I'm coming from.
Absolutely.
So having someone that looks like you, that looks like me, I come in at a different level of trust.
Yeah.
And that will help me.
It's an intimidation, either technique, or intentionally or unintentionally, mm-hmm. To speak in a way, well, first not to understand who you're speaking to.
Right.
And what they're bringing with them as they walk through the door and sit in the seat. We all have our bags that we carry with us. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our bags that, you know, we're able to move forward, right? Sometimes we need to put some baggage down. Sometimes we need to keep it. Sometimes we pick up new stuff on the way. So that's, you know, our the baggage that we carry and that we maintain is really important. And so not understanding that and being able to speak it in ways that someone can relate to. And I have a thing about acronyms. I hate acronyms so much.
Me too.
Because an acronym, you can use the same, it can have many different meanings.
Yeah.
And it's contextual, right? It's situational. Before I pivoted my practice, I did a real quick little brief stint at the state, real quick.
Uh-huh.
Just hopped in, hopped out. Okay. Real quick. Just a little bit of seeing what else was out there. And during that little bit of time, the acronyms, I just was like, it was very intimidating. And I know I'm a smart person, mm-hmm. Capable of understanding, but the use of acronyms was intimidating, and again, I don't know if it's intentionally or unintentionally, but nevertheless, the impact is the same.
Yeah.
So with all of those things combined, and again, that's one of the things my TED talk that you're a coach. I'm so looking forward to being able to interact with you in that regard. That's what my talk is about. You know, how do we stop that?
Yeah.
Because people don't listen. You could have. It's your, and you know this as a speaker coach, it's your delivery of the message.
Yeah.
Your message could be amazing. The information that you have to provide can be amazing. It can be life-changing. But if you're not delivering it in a way that it can be received by your audience,
yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. It's trash.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, so that's very interesting. You know, and I think once you once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you start to notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
Often.
Absolutely.
Which is a good thing, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to notice because then you can speak on it and change it.
Right, right. I love that. Okay, we're going to hop right into, because we've got a lot. So today we're talking money mastery, and this session is designed to inspire and educate the Full Circle family on overcoming financial barriers. So let's talk right about financial barriers. What when you say that, what does that mean?
Yeah. So financial barriers can be kind of the more common, obvious things like insufficient income. I don't make enough money, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what I hear the most. And as far as a financial barrier, I don't make enough money. I like to dig a little bit deeper into that and say, you know, what does that really mean, right? Because there are people, I've had colleagues have clients that, and I've heard, you know, of other advisors. People can make a single person making $500,000 a year, right, in tech, and not be able to meet their monthly expenses,
mm-hmm.
right? So so insufficient income is most often heard, and that is a real thing, particularly when we're talking about women in undervalued communities and the wage gaps. But there's more, right? There's more to it. So it also means high levels of debt. Mm. Debt is a plague on society, right? There's a lot of plagues on society. I'm coming at it from my little corner of the cubicle. Debt is a huge plague on society. It's like a never ending. It's like an itch that you keep scratching and it keeps getting worse, right? So high levels of debt. And I think sometimes people don't realize what their debt levels actually are because it's kind of scary, right? It's scary to see it plain out in sight. And then once you see it, what you're going to do about it, then you can become complicit and just actively not doing something. Yeah. So ignorance is bliss oftentimes. But high levels of debt are really, really problematic. And lack of financial education. I think I would even put that at the top, right? Because if you have the financial education, and I have a lot to say, probably won't have time to get into it, but I have a lot to, you know, from the behavioral finance sort of perspective about financial education, how it's delivered, who it's delivered by. We could do a whole show on that. But financial literacy is, again, I would put that at the top, right? Because if you know and understand, it's not scary, right? One of my other colleagues, friends, is doing a TED Talk on like doing one thing that you've never done or something that's scary, something like that. And I really love that because that's what I've done over the past few years. We're talking about, you know, the me pivoting. Mm-hmm. And I leaned into the things that were scary, right? I've gone head first into the things. And I'm like, either I'm going to crash and burn or I'm going to excel. This is about like what financial literacy, right? Yeah. And I guarantee you it can only help you. You're not going to become financially literate in the areas that you need to be and be like, this was the worst thing I ever did. I wish I didn't know this.
Right. Yeah, and seeing the finances, you know, actually having to take a look and dig into it makes it real.
Yeah.
And that can be scary sometimes.
It can be scary, but it can be scary before you do it.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, my financial clients, when we look at, because, you know, no matter what context, and I do comprehensive financial planning, meaning that, you know, are we trying to save for you to transition out of your current job into a new career, into a new space? Are you having a child, another child, getting married, buying a home, retirement, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever the goal is, we go and we tackle it. But the first step is always, let's see where the money's going.
Yeah.
Right? We know where it's coming in, most people, unless you're a business owner like myself, you know, the money comes in at different intervals and at different speeds. Yeah. Totally fine. Totally. And in a sense, those folks even more so need to have financial literacy, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it's coming in, or generally speaking, most people don't have a clear understanding of where it's going. And so the first step is, let's just pull the boogeyman out the closet and see that he's only 5'3" and he weighs 100 pounds. And he's just got a big booming voice, right?
Yeah.
Like, pull him out. Let's shake him out. Like, see what you're dealing with, right? And then you know, and most of the time, and I've done this with myself, I'm like, man, I spent a lot on DoorDash. Mm-hmm. Amazon got a lot of my money.
Yeah.
That Amazon Prime card, right? So it's looking at where, and oftentimes once you see it, that, and you see it in tangible form, what's happening with your money, you have the power to control it. So now it's like, okay, if you want to, like in my case, if I want to order this DoorDash, okay, Tiffany, like this is your thing, right? Now you know. You can't be like, oh, I didn't know I was.
Yeah.
Now you know. So it's really seeing where your money's going. That's like step one of financial literacy. And doing it like a personal financial audit, right? Okay. And I help clients do that. I think it's you can do it on your own. I think it is good to have a fiduciary objective third party do it, because they're not going to BS you. Yeah. You're going to BS yourself.
That's true.
Right? Like, but I need that month I was really busy. And so that's why I had DoorDash 3 times a week for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Right. We can justify anything with ourselves. So conducting a personal financial audit, seeing where the money's going, first step always, because oftentimes we can curb some of that, like there's already savings right there, mm-hmm. right? You want to save to transition out of your career, or you want to save to start your side business, your passion project.
Yeah.
You want to take a vacation with your boo. Right.
Right.
Here's money that like what's in, and then it's, you know, I don't like budgets. I'll tell you, I don't like budgets, but they're good guidelines for you. Yeah. And then you can make the decision when you see where the money is going. OK, I want to go overseas this summer. My DoorDash habit is impacting that. So before I hit this order button, am I willing to sacrifice part of my travel experience because I don't want to cook? And if the answer is yes, that's a choice I've made. I've consciously gone into it, and I'm aware and I know it. So that's part of financial literacy too, yeah. is understanding the impact that your spending decisions make. But in order to do that, you have to see like
you have to know what they are.
You have to see what your spending decisions, you have to see what that impact actually is.
Yeah.
So that's the first step. So financial literacy is hugely important. And I made the comment about, like, you know, it depends on how it's presented and where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So part of understanding financial behavior, and all these studies have been done about financial literacy and how is it most impactful. Mm-hmm. And studies show that, like, government-funded programs on financial literacy are kind of ineffective, right? Because people aren't, a variety of different reasons. One of them being which people aren't stepping into it, right? And there's, you know, models of what other countries are doing, things like that. The bottom line, and this is with anything, is that you have to willingly step into it. You have to step forward and acknowledge this is what I'm going to do, right? This is make a conscious decision to make the effort and to engage in the action and get it done, right? Like you can think about it all you want. You can blame others all you want. But at some point, you have to step in and take action and do what's best for your life, right?
Yeah.
So financial literacy for me is, again, the work I do is with clients is, okay, let's see what you got. Let me show you what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how I'm looking at these numbers. Let me show you what it means, right? And with investments, I think investments are a huge opportunity that are misunderstood, and I get it. They're hard to understand. We have a whole financial licensing around it, right? My goal is to take people's goal and show them with the money that we've saved from those habits that we've identified that are not productive toward, you know, the future vision of themselves, mm-hmm. and, you know, how to, based on their risk tolerance, their goals, their eventual outcomes, where to put your money and how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's hugely empowering. When people start to understand money and how money is circulated, you know, they're, and get out of the scarcity mentality, right? Because there is, the world is naturally abundant, right? Scarcity is a human-made concept. Mm-hmm. So stepping out of that scarcity mode, I can't do this because I don't have enough. Learning to work with what you have in order to create the more that you want.
I like that. We're going to take a break. But before we go, I want to just, I'll tease this and we'll come back. One of the things you talked about in not having a lack of income or a lack of financial resources, one of the things that I wrote down is being underemployed too.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, family. When we come back, more with Tiffany Sharp inside the Full Circle Money, what is Wealth Wisdom? Oh, look, I'd have made up the thing and already forgot. Wealth Wisdom series, we'll be right back after this. It's Full Circle.
If you have something to add to the conversation, drop us a line at fullcircle975@gmail.com.
Full Circle is sponsored by Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Release the distractions in your life that keep you from living an authentic, whole, and complete life. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, people-pleasing, or destructive behaviors, Tapping with Dr. Gigi can help you embrace self-love and acceptance to feel better about your life and improve your life beyond your wildest dreams. Tapping, or emotional freedom technique, has been practiced for thousands of years and is a simple yet powerful technique that can be practiced anywhere. Start your transformational journey today with Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Family, let's make 2024 the year of freedom with Tapping with Dr. Gigi.
Empowering women one conversation at a time. This is Full Circle with Miss Wanda.
Back, family. Thank you so much for staying with the program. This is Full Circle. I'm your host, Miss Wanda. Inside the first installment of the Full Circle Wealth Wisdom Series featuring Tiffany Sharp, founder of T-Sharp Legacy and Wealth Council, also the independent firm of T-Sharp Wealth Management, LLC. Family, grab your pen, your paper, your pad, and come get this knowledge because we're dropping it for you. Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about overcoming financial barriers. And before we moved on to another topic, I mentioned before we went to the break how you talked about lack of income or lack of financial resources. And I thought about being underemployed. And it kind of goes into that. You mentioned the scarcity mindset, too, of so there's so many reasons why people are underemployed. Now, there's sometimes it's that's the only job that I can get. I need something right now to feed my family. And I get that. Totally get that. But there are times that I can just say this for my career. I stayed in a place of being unemployed because I was afraid of supervision. I was afraid to move up to the next thing. I didn't think I had what it took. And I think especially for a lot of black and brown women that tends to be an obstacle for us, that we stay in positions longer than we should. I remember when I did finally promote into management, I remember my supervisor at the time, he said, "What took you so long?" he did. And I really felt bad about that. Yeah. And I didn't want to tell him, but then I did tell him. I was like, you know, I was afraid of that I couldn't do this next level of work. And so I think that's one of the things that keeps our finance, that has that a mindset. Financial impact. We stay in positions where we do have the potential, all of us, we have it in us to make more, to do more, to expand ourselves.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't allow ourselves to do that. So staying underemployed will also impact us financially because we have the potential to make more, but we don't for whatever reason that is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. We were talking about that over break.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it's the scarcity mentality. And listen, you know me, I talked your ear off at the break. I can talk for a long time on these topics, so I won't get into the scarcity mentality and how it was initially created during colonialism and slave time, because it's a benefit, right? The scarcity mentality benefits a capitalistic economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get a lot of eggs thrown at me, but I'm a proponent of capitalism. I think capitalism can work, but it's ethical capitalism, right?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the scarcity mentality, it's a thing. It's a real thing. It's a systematic thing,
mm-hmm.
but and it's also very much a mental thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think part of the policies that have created, you know, the history of the policies that have created a scarcity mindset have intentionally, like, it's a lasting thing. It's generational.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of my behavioral finance work with, it's a generational, the scarcity mindset. This, I got to get the job. I got to take the job that, because I need to pay these bills, right? And being afraid to step out of your comfort zone, even though you are very likely qualified, more qualified, like your boss said, what mm-hmm. took you so long?
Mm-hmm.
He's been waiting for you, right? But he was waiting for you to get you together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Right? So, you know, stepping outside of and taking a chance. I have been practicing this, and I like to tell people, and it's scary. It's scary, but take your goal and your vision that you have for yourself, be it for next week, next month, next year, the next couple of years, and don't double it. Don't make it 2 times bigger. Make it 10 times bigger. Hmm. 10 times bigger, because we as humans underutilize our capacity for accomplishment, right? Mm. And it's a mental, I'm very much into the neuroscience of things. And it's how our brain, you can train your brain to see opportunities that you didn't otherwise see. Yeah. It's like when you go and when I decided I'm gonna get this new car, right? A couple mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. I started seeing them everywhere,
yeah.
Right? I started seeing they didn't just pop up because I decided I wanted to get one too. They've always been there, but because I made the decision, mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to do. And at the time I made the decision, I was like, "In no way, okay? Like, there's no way." I hadn't got myself together. I hadn't got my own finances, you know, even together, even you know, knowing better. I was like, "There's no way." But this is my goal. Right? This is a big lofty goal. Shoot. And then I started seeing them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what your brain does, there's a portion of your brain, I believe it's in the front. I don't want to mispronounce it, but your brain actually starts to recognize the patterns that exist in nature that help you accomplish what you are trying to accomplish. You just see things that you hadn't seen before. Yeah. So when we're talking about the underutilization of employment, there is a very real thing, societal issue. But here, you can do one of two things, right? You can do one of three things. You can do one of two things. You can stay where you're at and not even try, right? Or you can step into the unknown and figure out what the potential is. And from that, one of two things can happen. Either you're going to jet rocket excel, mm-hmm. or you're going to be pushed back to where you were.
Yeah.
Right? Not very often are you worse off, right? It may seem like that initially, but when you look back, you go, a lot of people, that's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is what I encourage people, like, you know, don't quit your job to start a business that you've never started, right? That's not a good decision.
Yeah.
But make your plan, right? The first step is like, get your business plan together. Mm-hmm. If you say, I want to leave the workforce where I have a boss and I want to be my own boss, and here's what I, make your business plan, because then at least you know the what you need to do, what you're good at, you know where you need to fill things in. Take a step.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose by making a business plan. Nobody's going to fire you for making a business plan unless you're like doing it on the job. You're not supposed to, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fire you for planning, right? Get your plan together. And you may look at it and say, hey, you know what? Where I thought I was underemployed, actually, I'm perfectly where I'm fine where I want to be. I don't want to do all this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look at it, most likely, and say, I can make this work. Here's what I need to do. Here's the steps I need to take. And I often have people come to me in that position where, like, okay, we'll start getting this business together,
yeah.
Right? How do we make your business financially sound, and how will you actually make it business sound?
Yeah.
So I have a business planning course. It's self-paced on my website. Get your business plan together, but you know, step into it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid because what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
I think that we are I know that we are our own greatest obstacle, quite frankly, right? Like, yeah. We don't do things out of fear. We just don't do things out of fear. Rightfully so. A lot of that's generational trauma. A lot of that is our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. But they couldn't do that. And they raised us in a way to protect us, right?
Yeah.
Don't say that. Don't do that, right? And it's from a place of love and protection because it was necessary for survival. However, as things progress, so do our habits, mm-hmm. right? And some things, like I was talking about the baggage, right? Some baggage, keep it like, this is great baggage. I'm gonna love this bag. I'm gonna keep this, right? Uh-huh. And some baggage you just got to put down. It's no longer, it served you well.
Yeah.
And it's no longer, your destination is not your baggage is not appropriate for the destination you're trying to get to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So people, so I think, you know, there again, there's a very real issue with under, you know, being underemployed.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to dissect that and inspect that. And what is the real issue? Is it, you know, is it, yes, I'm a black woman, right? The reason I started my own law practice in 2004 is because I got tired of getting hit on by my bosses. I was in my late 20s, mm-hmm. you know? I was just tired of like having to come to do my job and like having these men in my office when they weren't, you know, I just got tired. I got tired of being in that space. And so I started my own practice. At the time, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a parent. I did have a mortgage. So, you know, but it was like, that was a risk. And never looked back except for that brief little stint at the state. I was, but that told me like, okay, this is right. You know, again, it's like doing your business plan. Maybe you say, this isn't for me. You got to at least look at it. Look at the opportunity. You owe it to yourself to take the opportunity and see where it leads you.
Yeah. I want to go back to, I'm also into like the neuroscience of stuff, and people, I don't think people realize that our brain doesn't know reality from non-reality.
Yeah.
So we can, like you said, train it to do anything because our brain doesn't know the difference. It only knows what we tell it.
Yeah.
And if we keep saying these negative things over our lives over and over again, then that's going to become our reality.
Yeah.
And so I, yes,
you
I'm
are
totally
speaking my
that.
Language. I've been a meditator for over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And I spend at least 30 minutes upon waking after I've hit the snooze a couple times, uh-huh. I'll be honest, doing affirmations, but affirmations in a certain, not like I am powerful, am this. I was talking to a really amazing new friend about, we were talking about affirmations yesterday, and I was kind of going through, I use the miracle morning sort of method.
Okay.
And that is where you talk, you state what your goal is, you state why it's meaningful to you, and how you're, what your steps you're going to take to do it. Hmm. Right? Because then that starts getting your brain activated. I'll send you the link. So that's how my affirmations go. So I do, and I only do it for like 3 minutes, right? Every day. These affirmations. I remember what my goal is, why it's important to me, and emphasizing that the universe expects you to do, you know, it can provide you with opportunities, but you got to meet those opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And then my meditation is like I do a certain type of breathing technique,
mm-hmm.
Where I'm taking, you know, it's kind of chakra based or energy center based, mm-hmm. but taking, you know, the energy from our lower energy centers, which are based in survival mode, right?
Yeah.
And when you're talking about chakras and, you know, things like that, it's like the root chakra that's very survival of, you know, and creation, like recreation, mm-hmm. procreation, creating things. It's a survival. Those lower energy centers are survival mode. And like breathing up through to the higher modes of like heart-centered, throat-centered, third eye center, you know, all of these things. But it helps move the energy out of like that survival mode, scarcity mentality that we're mm-hmm. talking about into a creative possibility, opportunities. And it really does work because your brain, you'll if you do it consistently and you think consistently, you just won't, when you hear sort of the doubting things and like, oh, you know, I can't, it becomes very foreign to you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It becomes like, no, it's totally possible. So like you said, it's our mental capacity. We are just barely scratching the surface of how we, and you know, and then we can get into quantum physics, you know, quantum science about how literally our reality is we create our own reality. That's a different topic for a different day. But it is a very, it's a very much a mental process. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that the things that you can accomplish once you get over your mindset, it's really remarkable, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't see everything else. You don't see the things, the doubts and the worries, and what you begin to notice is opportunities and possibilities. And you start to really attract people that are more based in opportunity and possibility versus, you know, that scarcity.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole, If you like the scarcity mentality, you're going to be in good company. There's a whole club of people, right? That I don't want to say like, but can't pull themselves out of that because mm-hmm. it's a very It's very scary to step out.
Or it could just be really rooted in that, like you talked about earlier, that generational, like that, the one thing, the generational, I'm going to say generational learnings, because I don't like to say curse or any of that, like the generational learnings that we've passed down from person to person or generation to generation, those are deep roots.
They're genetically ingrained.
Yeah.
Yeah. The study of epigenetics is showing that the traumas our ancestors endured become ingrained. And this is, you know, this isn't, it's not just for descendants of chattel slavery. This is everybody, right? You look at Jews who have survived the Holocaust, anything, right? Yeah. Anybody, this is human. Yeah. This is like, you get in the inside, everything kind of looks the same, right? So the study of epigenetics shows that those traumas, they become physically ingrained in our DNA and are literally passed on from generation to generation. So when we're talking about generational trauma, we are actually talking about a scientific, genetic thing, not, you know, something kind of, you know, fuzzy in the sky, it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And again, it's survival, right? I was telling you over the break, I just finally finished reading Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. I started reading it a couple years ago and I had to put it down because I started to understand my own upbringing a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And I needed to take a minute.
Yeah.
Right? Like all of those things that I was blaming my parents for doing wrong, I started to understand they're trying to keep me alive.
Yeah.
Because that's how they were taught to keep their babies alive. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's we very much have to understand it and learn to put it down, right? Just because it's part of our, you know, again, the study of epigenetics, there's a lot of things like we have, you know, my family, we have a tendency toward substance abuse. It's a genetic trait. Mm-hmm. I've always known, my parents have always told us, like, be careful what you do, right? And I know if I start doing some things, I'm going to love it. So I stay away from it because I don't want that trait to be triggered and activated.
Yeah.
So just because we have these traits doesn't mean that we have to live with them. We can suppress them. We can not trigger them. And I think this is very much with our scarcity mentality and our fear of stepping into the unknown. Yeah. And not taking risks and chances that, like, let's say a white male would.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not because we're not capable. In fact, most of the people I talk to that think they aren't aren't qualified for something, I'm like, you are more qualified than anybody I've ever met.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because the person that has that position right now isn't like a quarter qualified. So it's our ability to talk ourselves out of things because of fear, scarcity, all of these things. It's all a mental thing. So that's why I really focus in my, you know, I do the analytical, the numbers, the legal, but also understanding like this is a mental thing. You can have, you know, it's like the person I was telling you that makes $500,000 a year, single person, no kids, makes $500,000 a year as an in debt and is in debt, right? That's a mental thing. Like there's enough.
It's just how are you
working it with it, right? Yeah. And working with what you have and what's like preventing you from doing things that you want to do, but you're afraid to do. So that's why I say like take that goal you have and don't double it, like 10 times it, right? Make it make it outrageous. Like, just make it outrageous. Not like I'm going to go on a spaceship, hey, why not? But, you know, I mean, Elon's shooting people up there.
Right.
So, you know, so with the underutilization of your employment capabilities, as I want to reframe it.
Yeah.
You know, look at how, and you know what's really great is to have your friends look at your qualifications and look at the job, they'll tell you, like, you're totally, this is, you're overqualified, right? Yeah. We tend to, particularly as Black women, and Brown women, Indigenous women, we tend to kind of like suppress our gifts.
And downplay, yeah.
And downplay our gifts because we don't want to be the uppity dot, 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 right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Or we don't want to be the know-it-all dot, dot, dot. But that's part of that generational, you know, that's a part of that generational baggage, not wanting to stick out. What happens when you stick out and, you know, the slave owner sees you sticking out? Well, they're coming for you either for, you know, to sell you, to try to forcefully breed you, or to, you know, all these things. Like, it's a very, you know, there's a lot there, but understand that that's inside you. That's not necessarily outside of you.
Yeah.
So have your friends hype you up.
Yeah, yeah. And be truthful friends. Don't hype them up if they don't have the skill. Don't just be like, girl, you got it, and you don't have it. But also, what I used to tell people when I would coach in, even now, when they're taking, like, the state has a lot of the tests online now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I would tell people is that you have to consider all of your experience. So if it says, do you have experience running a budget, right? You can't, you know, when you look at that, you think, oh, I haven't run a budget of $40 million or whatever. But I run my household budget. I know the basics of budget.
Women,
you know,
running
so I
budgets.
Tell people to do that, to, like, consider all of your qualifications, and that, because that will also help us to build up that confidence that we can do it instead of putting us out of the, you know, taking ourselves out of competition because we can't see a bigger picture of our skills and apply them.
Well, here's the thing, like, historically, work in the house has been underappreciated, right? And so the skill set that it takes to run a household is also historically been underappreciated. I saw this meme on social media, and it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I was on this Zoom and there was gunshots in the background. And somebody commented, then you tell them, as you can see, I work well under pressure. You know, it's like you take, like, you're real, your experiences are real. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot, like you said, people don't appreciate their own, they don't categorize their experiences in a way that is beneficial, because a lot of experiences have been undervalued, which is why I use the term undervalued. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, running a household budget, you know, if you're a single parent and you got kids, not only that, but time management, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when I got here, I've already been up since 6 o'clock doing softball sports stuff. Like, you got to really have scheduling, right? Budgeting, change management.
Right, right. You're right. So taking all of those things into consideration and taking a different look at your experience in a way that can help you grow to the next level, which is going to, in turn, help you financially to be able to get to that next level, whatever that is.
You got to sell yourself
and all of those things.
You got to sell yourself and not sell yourself short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at your experience and hype you. Be your own hype person. Sometimes you have to be right. Like you said, you know, I don't have budgeting experience, but like I've been running, you know, single parent on a single income. Man, you've been budgeting the budget out of budgets.
Right. So family, I think we've talked about overcoming financial barriers so well. Like, again, look up, you know, find Tiffany, follow her on social media. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about generational wealth strategies, because we're in the first part of our money mastery episode of the Full Circle Wealth Wisdom series. Mindset. Okay, you have it. Like, mindset is the thing that you need to work on. And if you need help, then, you know, hey, Tiffany is here to help you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with the Wealth Wisdom series. Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Like and share our Facebook page at Full Circle 97.5.
Full Circle is sponsored by Serendipity Innovation, a woman-owned technology firm specializing in building technology products that serve and support your health, wealth, and business. If you're new in business, want to refresh your website, or create an app to better serve your customers, reach out to Serendipity Innovation today. Serendipity Innovation is more than just a boutique agency. They are a heart-centered team dedicated to transforming lives through the power of technology, engineering, and emotional well-being. Tell them you heard it on Full Circle for a free consultation. Start the year off right. Get your business in the forefront with Serendipity Innovation. Visit their website at serendipityinnovation.com. That's serendipityinnovation.com.
It's not just talk when you put it into action. Empowering women through conversation with Miss Wanda.
We're back, family. Thank you so much for staying with the program. This is Full Circle. I'm your host, Miss Wanda. Inside the very first Full Circle Wealth Wisdom Series featuring our guest, friend to the show, licensed attorney. She's a financial and insurance, and make sure I'm saying this right, Tiffany, financial and insurance advisor.
I don't sell insurance.
No.
Yeah, so I don't sell insurance, but I have... We're going to talk about that, actually. Yes. Investments. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Investment and real estate advisor.
Yes.
Okay.
I help you with your money.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you Money T now.
Oh, come on. Hey.
Start calling you Money T.
There's my T. I'm going to make a T-shirt. Listen, you don't know what you started.
You will have a T-shirt, too. You will have a T-shirt. I've seen you in some T-shirts,
You don't know what you started.
Before we went to the break, we were talking a lot, family, about overcoming financial barriers. I think we looped a lot of the developing a positive wealth mindset and money mindset, getting your financial house in order. But Tiffany did not want to leave. She cares a lot about you, fam. She did not want to leave you without at least some debt management strategies.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for if you're listening to the show today and you're like, man, I'm in debt. And, you know, we don't want you to leave the show feeling bad about yourself. We want to give you practical tools where you can start to, you know, change the trajectory of your finances. So debt management, and you mentioned avalanche and snowball, and I've been doing debt snowball. I listen to a lot of what Dave Ramsey does. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of, I don't agree with everything. Like, I'm not cutting out my credit card.
Yeah.
Because you never know when there's an, you know, especially as a homeowner, you never know when an emergency is going to happen. So I don't do that, but I have been doing the debt snowball and I've been doing some of the other stuff. So talk about some of those things and ways people can reduce or start to manage their debt.
I also don't cut my credit cards. I actually use my credit card. I put almost everything on my credit card and then I just pay it off.
Yeah.
So like credit cards aren't bad. And I'm saying this for somebody that didn't have credit card for 20 years, right? Like my credit was not great because I did not have credit because I was one of those 20 something year old college students that got, you know, a credit card at school and didn't do well with it because I didn't know how to manage money. I didn't have the financial literacy. Credit and debt is not bad, right? Debt is, you have to understand it. You really have to understand it because, and it can work for you, but you just can't let it work you.
Yeah.
Right? So I did want to leave because your show is about empowerment. Mm-hmm. I didn't want people to be like, oh no, I'm in debt. My weekend's ruined. I have no hope. So I want to give people two techniques. And I invite them to have a free initial consultation with me. We can talk about these in depth. And if you hire me, we can actually go through this. But here are two, and you had mentioned that you're doing one. Two of the most popular ones is called the avalanche method. And what the avalanche method does is you focus on your debts that have the highest interest rate, and you try to pay those off first, right? So that and that's what I did. That's what I did when I was initially trying to get out of my debt. I took the ones with the highest interest rates because those were the ones that were costing me the most money to hold, and then went from there. So that's the avalanche method. The other method is called the snowball method. And this is great. This is a great mental booster because what you're doing is you're paying off your smaller debts first, and then you have those psychological wins like, yay, I did it. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the confidence and courage to go further and do more.
Yeah.
So again, the two methods are like avalanche, you go big, right? So if you think about it, an avalanche, it's just like, it's you take the big ones and you take the big ones first, right? Avalanches are huge. That's the avalanche method. You pay off the debts with the highest interest rate first. Mm-hmm. And then once you pay those off, you take that money and you keep paying off, right? Mm-hmm. And then the snowball method, it's, again, you're still paying off debt, but it helps you psychologically. It's more like psychological wins. So you pay off the smaller ones first. Mm-hmm. And again, both methods are you are paying off debt. That's the end goal. And,
right.
And if you follow them, your debt's going to be paid off eventually, mm-hmm. particularly if you understand your spending habits and prioritize, you know, and spend based on your values.
Yeah.
I very much talk about, you know, spending based on your values. I'm not like a, I don't like to, when I say I don't like budgets, I don't like to curmudgeon my money, mm-hmm. right? But I like to spend on things that have value to me. So, and understanding what those are. So those are two methods of debt reduction, and we can get into those more. If, again, you can go to my website, tsharplegacywealth.com, schedule a free initial consultation online, and then we can talk about these and see where you're at and see what's best, right? Some people need that kind of psychological booster because mm-hmm. they're so down and bummed out on themselves that they let themselves get into that state. And first of all, I'm going to be your hype person and say, like, kudos to you for, like, stepping in and recognizing that you have to do something. You are ahead of the game already.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hype you up. I'm going to make you feel good. And then we're going to find out the best method, like, you know, based on where you're at, what your goals are, what your situation is like, and what you need. So that's mm-hmm. the psychology aspect of it. Like, what do you need? Like, how do we need to approach this so that it is an empowering experience for you while also accomplishing your financial goals?
Yeah.
So those are two methods. And you can Google them. You know, you can Google them. You can ChatGPT them mm-hmm. And get more information about how to do those and see which one's best for you. And you know, even if you don't have an opportunity to hire me or another financial fiduciary, give it a go.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
I can definitely say that the debt snowball, that's what I did for me because I needed those small wins.
Yeah.
So paying off those small things. Wow, I felt really good. Okay, now I can do this. And I got to the next small one. And the next thing I knew, everything was done.
That's right.
You know, and it's like, wow.
And you did it.
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah.
I did the avalanche method because when I was looking at the high interest rates, mm-hmm. I was mad. I'm like, how dare they got my money? Like, there was no value to me. Like, that purchase
that I got.
You know, that I made from that card, the value of that is long gone, but I'm still paying these fools for it, right?
Yeah.
So it made me mad. I'm like, I'm going to pay you. You're not getting my money. You're not getting my money.
Look,
high interest rates.
I like that you brought out the debt management strategies because that also kind of goes into your mindset coaching and what you do there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everything's not right for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So and again, when we're talking about undervalued communities and populations that have been traditionally undervalued, right? So again, most of my clients are women or women-led households and people from what I get called undervalued communities. There is that extra component, like we didn't have much given to us historically, right? I'm gonna be 50 this year, one of the first generations of Black Americans and descendants of chattel slavery that I have parents that can leave something to me mm-hmm. if they choose to. We'll see. They still alive and kicking. And, you know, I tell them, like, spend it.
Yeah.
Spend it till it's gone. They're almost 80. I'm like, you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be fine. I don't know about the rest of everybody else, but, you know, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of, you know, mindset that, mm-hmm. Give it a try.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. And like you said, you found the method that was best for you. Excuse me. And those small wins helped you continue to move forward, add more momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that you mentioned that. And we are family in June. So make sure you're staying tuned for all three of the episodes. We are talking about legacy planning, estate planning. But something you said really kind of struck me, and I wanted to make sure to go back to it, is that you were telling your parents, like, spend it. Because one of the things, and we'll get into this more in our legacy planning series, but don't count on your family to die to build wealth.
Ooh, yeah, we were talking about that. I mean, you know, I tell my parents this, when we're talking about generational wealth, it's got to be generational.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my parents spin it because both my parents worked. I was a latchkey kid, like every other, you know, most 90s kids, and now is their opportunity to benefit from that. They have more money than they need, and that's a blessing, right? Because mm-hmm. they worked for it, and they were smart about it. My dad was the first financially literate person I ever met. And I just would watch him and how he would manage the house, you know, manage the household money and, mm-hmm. and make it grow. And he had this little, and we're going to talk about coming up generational wealth strategies. Mm-hmm. And part of that is educating the next generation. I used to watch him. I think he still has them. He's got these like notebooks and he would handwrite all of his, you know how you can go on the computer, you can go on to like your financial, yeah. you know, Fidelity or Vanguard or whatever, and they do all that. They math for mm-hmm. you. And I think he still does it in these little notebooks where he was like, and he taught himself. Mm-hmm. He taught himself all of this. I remember when he retired from the Air Force and he was only 40. Imagine that, right?
Wow.
And which was old for me at the time. I think I was like 16. I was like, wow, retire. Oh my God. But he's only 40. And he learned, he did a pivot.
Mm-hmm.
He did a pivot. He taught himself new skills and things, and it really benefited him. And so I watched him teach himself. I watched him learn. And I watched him learn the things that he had not been taught and make. And he stepped into spaces that he was not comfortable in, and the rewards and benefits compounded. And that's kind of like a pun on compounding interest. That's a nerdy. Anyway, so it's really important when we're, you know, I think we're going to talk about generational wealth strategies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strategies next. But, you know, yeah, don't wait for somebody to die. And this is, at the break we're talking about, I kind of have a thing with, and I'm going to really get it because I have some friends that sell life insurance. Thinking that life insurance is the only way to generational wealth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why does somebody have to die to pass on wealth?
Yeah.
There's opportunities during lifetime to acquire and accumulate wealth and protect it and enjoy it during this lifetime without having to wait for somebody to die.
Yeah.
And I have, I think part of my hitch and my giddy up with life insurance, get life insurance. Don't get me wrong. Get life insurance, please.
Yeah.
But don't make it this is how I'm going to pass on my generational wealth. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool in your toolbox to use, right? It's not the only tool you have. And part of my thing about life insurance is, you know, when slaves were considered property, and a lot of these insurance companies made a lot of money when slave owners insured their slaves. And that's how like slave owners would get a lot of money and insurance companies would profit, right? It's the profiting off of human bodies again. And so of course that's not the case today, but it's very much it's very much in my thinking
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about, you know, generational wealth.
Yeah.
Part of generational wealth, and we're going to talk about, is like acquiring assets during life, using them to your benefit during life, enjoying them. That's why I was like, tell my parents, spend the money. Mm-hmm. I was kind of only joking, but like, you know, you don't have to hoard all this money. Go enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? You worked so hard for it. You can enjoy it. You're never going to spend it all.
Yeah. When you talk about acquiring assets that appreciate, what kind of things are you talking about?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is real estate, but
okay.
I'm sure there's other things.
So real estate is, and that's why I got my real estate license, because real estate is one of the few assets that appreciates over time versus depreciates, right? You drive, you know, that car I was talking about, I wanted, the minute I drove it off the lot, as nice as it is, it's decreased in value,
mm-hmm.
right? Years later, it's probably, you know, it's decreased in value. They sell them for less now, right? Like, it's just not, what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. It means a lot to me, but it's a me thing. It's not like a value thing. But real estate, on the other hand, is the only thing that appreciates over time versus depreciates. But that being said, real estate, when people call it passive income, like if you're going to own an income, you know, real estate for income properties, there's nothing passive about owning real estate. It's a lot. Any landlords out, anybody that like rents a out something, you know, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. My dad did this for a long time. He finally said, I'm out of the slumlord business. You know, he's got that dark sense of humor like my family has. He said, I don't want to be a landlord anymore. It's a lot of work. You know, 70 something years old. You're the one that gets the calls in the middle of the night when something goes wrong. You're like responsible. It's basically like you have a whole nother household that you have to manage and take care of, right? So there's nothing passive about it. Let's just get, like, if that's what you want to, if that's your passion and that's your love and you have the time, energy, and capacity to do that, great. But, you know, I think home ownership is really important for certain, right? Primary residence home ownership, that's huge because with the proper legacy planning, that is an item of generational wealth, absolutely. But I say proper legacy planning because if you pass away and you have not made accommodations for that generation, you know, it doesn't become generational wealth. It becomes state wealth because now we got to probate it, right? And as, you know, I don't do probate because I don't like it. But probate, if, you know, anytime you got to have your property determined by the court system, it's going to be expensive and you're going to lose money.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes. So real property, yes, under certain circumstances. I would say home ownership, residential home ownership is extremely important. And I'm a huge advocate of it for historical reasons because we've been denied home ownership. And here's the thing, like, don't even get me started. I get really worked up about this because it was a very intentional deprivation of home ownership for certain communities.
Yeah.
Because it is this understanding that the wealth value surrounding land and property. So I am a huge advocate of first time, like, own your home, own where you live, right? But then after that, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, passive investments like real estate aren't really passive. It's a lot of work and a lot of time. So that's one. But also, and this is where the investment component comes in. And I made like a little compound interest joke. But here's the thing about like investments. Your money compounds. What does that mean? So this is a great, when I say acquire assets, I also mean investment, investing, right? I don't mean investing in cryptocurrency. Invest in cryptocurrency if you got a little something to play with. Like, my investment in cryptocurrency, because I want to see what it does. I'm curious. I'm not trying to make a lot of money. I look at it almost every day because it fluctuates so much. But I'm not, I put money in there that I can afford to not have, right? But investing in, and there's different kinds of investments. So that's why I tell people, like, let's have a conversation where, depending on where your risk tolerance is, there is an investment for you, right? If you are low risk, there's an investment for you that's low risk. You know, you're it's backed by the government that you're not going to lose, right? If you're higher risk, there's something for you too. There's something for, there's an investment for everybody. There is an investment vehicle for everybody. And the longer you leave it in, so the way compounding works is like, okay, so you take, you put $100 in and you're, I'm going to do simple math and this probably isn't, you know, 100% correct. But let's say you put your, you put your $100 into an investment vehicle that garners you 2%. I'm going to say 5% because there's some CDs out there right now and savings accounts that get you close to 5%. APY. So let's just do simple math. You put your $100 in there. You leave it in there for a year. Math is not correct. You need a financial calculator to do it. But I'm going to be real simple about it. You put it in there. First year, you get like, you know, maybe $105. It's not, don't quote me. This math is not correct. 105, right? But you're in, but then as your interest accumulates, it accumulates on that interest already that you've, does that make sense?
Yeah.
It compounds. Yeah. So you are earning money on the money that you earned. So that's a great vehicle, right? You leave it in there, especially if you leave it in there, forget it, ignore it. It continues to grow. You're earning money on your earning, on the interest. Okay. You're getting interest on the interest. And so that's so again, and how much how much interest you earn or how much you risk losing. That depends on the vehicle, and that's really a risk tolerance. I did this. I have somewhere on one of the social media somewhere that I posted. I made this graphic, and you might even see it in my TED Talk. Mm-hmm. But there was one scientist that showed, like, equated where people are on Maslow's hierarchy of needs and an investment, like the type of sort of investments that are either appropriate or that they kind of gear to, right? So for example, if you are on the lower tiers where you are really focused, it's like the survival modes that we're talking about, right? So if you're in survival, like don't wait to come to me until you're out of survival mode. I got something for you. I have a conversation for you.
Yeah.
Because if you're at that lower kind of level where, like, I'm just trying to survive, I'm just trying to get by, there's still a way for you to invest in a lower risk or a low risk vehicle, financial vehicle, that is still going to work for you, right? And it's like, you know, lower. When I say risk, it's like your risk of loss is not, you know, where's your risk of loss compared to your risk of gain? A low risk is like not much risk of losing your initial investment. It's just opportunity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things like bonds,
and
things
your
like
tolerance.
That. Yeah.
I liked what you said just a moment ago about don't wait until you're out of, and you were talking about the investment strategy, but I'm thinking about everything. Don't wait until you're out of the woods.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you have like I'm going to be embarrassed if I present my financial
picture to her. Or I'm not ready because I'm not ready to even have my, you know, I'm not ready to improve my finances because I'm just trying to stay
above
water.
Or don't not go to Tiffany or someone like her because you're embarrassed.
Oh, right? Don't be embarrassed.
You know, yeah, that's
I've probably experienced almost every of your situations.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said, I didn't have credit cards for 20 years because I got in a lot of credit card debt in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started, you know, saying, okay, I'm out of survival mode. Let me look at thriving mode.
Yeah.
And here's what I need to do. And I realized it's just like now my credit score is over 800, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I ventured in and finally, and that came, like, I had to look at it.
Yeah.
Right? I had been ignoring it. I had been, you know, and my dad, my financial kind of person that I would, you know, role model, he would tell me, like, you know, you say you don't have credit like you're proud of it, right? Like your credit score. He was talking to me about this for like decades, about how I need to improve my credit score. And when I finally was like, okay, you know, I pulled up my big girl panties and was like, okay, let me see what's going on in here.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go and clean out the garage, you got to be in the mindset where you're like, okay,
yeah,
it's going to be a poo-poo show,
yeah,
but we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to. You don't have to have a clean garage to seek help, right? That's what help is for.
Yeah,
you don't have to. And professional help, because you don't want to go to somebody who's selling you financial products and you're making them rich.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You want to go to somebody that, if you're going to pay somebody, you want to. And I tell my clients, this is my fee, and if it's annual planning, and if your net worth increases next year, I raise my fee. If it doesn't, you can, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't. You can, you know, I don't charge you more unless I have beneficially impacted your circumstances.
Yeah.
So absolutely, don't wait, because there is a place for you. Mm-hmm. I have a place for you, right? I got a place for you. Just come. You gotta just open the door to the garage. See that something needs to be done, and then get help.
Yeah. And I just want to, right before we go to a break, I want to go back really quickly to the educating the next generation, because it's super important. And I wish they did more financial literacy in schools.
Yeah.
That would.
I could have done it without that calculus class.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. My daughter's doing calculus now, and I'm like, I can't help you.
Yeah.
But you want to do a budget. I mean, like, you want to get your little finances. You want to talk about opening up a retirement, you know, because she's one of my employees. You know, I could talk to you about calculus. No.
Yeah. But I wanted to mention that because I think the conversations are, okay, they're not teaching it in school, so it's up to us, or not very often. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've even had a kid in school. So, but from what I understand, it's not they're a not. Lot of it's not teaching in school. So it's up to us to do it at home. And one of the myths, barriers, obstacles that I've heard from friends, families, other conversations, whatever, is that I don't want my kids to know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the best place, whether you're in whether you're in a lot of debt or not. I think those lessons that you learned, I think, are also valuable for your child to learn too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't have to be in all of your financial business, but I mean, giving them some of the basics, I think will help make a more well-informed young person, because you're right. And I don't know if they're still doing this at colleges, but I remember when I went to college too, that first days when we had the freshmen there and all the gear and stuff for school, they also had the credit card.
That's where I got my credit card.
So I don't know if they're still doing that. I know there was a lot of talk about them not doing that on school campuses anymore, but either way, I know that, you know, if your name is on any type of mailing list, you're getting, promotional marketing materials. You can get this credit card. You're pre-approved for this and blah, 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 and all that stuff.
They're giving out credit cards like candy.
Yeah, so having the conversation will help inform your young person to make better decisions. Don't wait until they get in financial trouble and then, you know, see, I told you, or whatever, you know. Educate them now.
Yeah.
Educate them younger, earlier, and often. And I think that will help at least the next generation maybe be a little bit more savvy than maybe the generation before.
Yeah. I really have a lot to say about that. Do we have time, or do we need to go to a
break? Let's
do
a quick break. Okay. And when we come back, we'll talk about that. All right. This is Full Circle Family. It's the Wealth Wisdom Series, and it is so good. Make sure you stay here for our last segment with our guest, Tiffany Sharp. We'll be right back after this.
If you have something to add to the conversation, drop us a line at fullcircle975@gmail.com.
Full Circle is sponsored by Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Release the distractions in your life that keep you from living an authentic, whole and complete life. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, people pleasing, or destructive behaviors, Tapping with Dr. Gigi can help you embrace self-love and acceptance to feel better about your life and improve your life beyond your wildest dreams. Tapping, or emotional freedom technique, has been practiced for thousands of years and is a simple yet powerful technique that can be practiced anywhere. Start your transformational journey today with Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Family, let's make 2024 the year of freedom with Tapping with Dr. Gigi. Visit tappingwithdrgigi.com.
And we're back with Miss Wanda, life coach, motivational speaker, and friend of sisters everywhere. This is Full Circle.
We're back, family. Thank you so much for staying with the program. This is Full Circle. I'm your host, Ms. Wanda. Having a conversation with guest friend to the show, Tiffany Sharp. She is founder of T-Sharp Legacy and Wealth Council and also the independent firm T-Sharp Wealth Management LLC. She is our subject matter expert for the Full Circle Wealth Wisdom Series. This is part one. Don't forget, part two happens next month. We're focusing on business, and part three happens in June, and we're talking about legacy planning, estate planning, all of that good stuff. But before we went to the break, we did talk about educating. We're talking about generational wealth strategies, and one of those things is educating the next generation. Yeah. You had some other comments that you wanted to say about
I wanted to speak on that a little bit, because I think what you said about not hiding what's going on from your children is hugely important, and I wanted to take a little moment on that. First of all, kids these days are super smart, right? Kids are smarter than we were, right? So don't think that what it's like. Like they're 10 times smarter than we were. Let's just accept that, right? Let's just accept that they're smart. They understand and have the capacity to understand and cope with a lot. We're talking about, like, my daughter, she'll be 14 in May. We're talking about a generation that has grown up with school shooting drills. We're talking about a generation that's gone through a pandemic. We're talking about a generation who they are very knowledgeable. They are very aware, let me say that. So I think it's important, in order to help them understand and accumulate the skills that they're gonna need. Because that's what our job is as parents, right? It's like to protect them, but also prepare them to be able to face challenges on their own. And part of that is helping them see, one, like, we're human, mm-hmm. right? I talk to my daughter all the time, like, I'm human, I messed up, I made a mistake, or I don't know, right? Like, you asked me, I don't know, let's look it up, or maybe I should ask you, mm-hmm. right? Because you're smarter than I am. And so involving them, I think, is hugely important. Involving them not in a crisis sort of scenario, but making it like a fun family thing, right? There's, I don't play video games. The last video game I ever played was an Atari. So that totally ages, like, you can tell how old I am. And I've never picked up, I don't even know how to turn this stuff on. But from what I see, there's families that will play video games and stuff together, right? Instead of doing that, like, sit around and talk about, here's some fun things to do, right? Like, hey, we got to go to the grocery store. Got $100. I want you to make the grocery store budget, right? $100, you know, we $100. Or as we're going through the shopping, and you can do this at, you know, different age levels mm-hmm. for appropriateness. Hey, you know, I've got $100. And this is a great way to teach math skills too, mm-hmm. right? Depending on where your kid is in their education. $100, you start keeping tabs on what we're spending, right? How you get a little calculator, you know, or maybe old school math, carry in the one. Oh, it's the old school math, not the new school math. I don't know anything about that. But like helping them, involving yeah. them, or if they're older, saying things like, and here's a great thing that I do with my, like, you want to go on, you know, you want to go to Disneyland, right? Okay, like, let's sit down and like, here's how much we make, or I make, here's the bills. So like, let's make a budget so we can all plan to go to reach your goal. Helping kids understand the value of money is hugely important. I think one complaint I often hear from parents is like, they don't understand. I work like that money doesn't grow on trees, mm-hmm. right? And again, part of that's how that scarcity mentality, but money really does not grow on trees.
Yeah.
It used to be made of trees. That's, you know, But helping kids understand, like, this is what we're dealing with, right? Like, parents don't generate and create money out of thin air. Mm-hmm. We go to jobs, or we have jobs, we get paid, and then we make that work for all the things that you want and all the things that you need and all of these things. So incorporate them and include them. Again, not in a crisis mode where we don't have any money and here's why. Mm-hmm. Here's, okay, if this is what you want to do, you want to go to soccer camp, okay, let's look at the finances.
Yeah.
And also, okay, you want to go to soccer camp? Where's your job, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a job, I'm going to give you a job, right? Just because kids don't have outside jobs, put them to work, mm-hmm. right? Help them understand the value of their efforts.
Yeah.
Right. And then they can value their efforts more. So I really wanted to, because that's absolutely where it starts. Right. Like, trying to shelter kids from the realities of the world. The realities of the world are already in your kids' bedrooms. They're on their phones. They're in their schools. The reality of the world is already there. Mm-hmm. So there's only so much protection you can do. You have to prepare them. When we're talking about finances, you have to prepare them so that when they go to college and they see these quote unquote opportunities for credit cards or whatever it's going to be when they, you know, in 5 years, whatever kind of AI technology, whatever,
yeah.
right? They understand how to evaluate it from a financial perspective because of the tools that you've taught them. Yeah. That's where it starts. Like, when we're talking about the best way to pass down generational wealth is to help the next generation understand how to manage money.
I just had something just popped in my mind, and you can have this. The best way to pass down generational wealth is to pass down generational knowledge.
Ooh, I like that.
Boom, you could have that.
Ooh.
It's true, though. It's
I'm going to use that in credit to Miss Wanda. That's absolutely.
Yeah. It's passing down that knowledge. And helping and having the conversations along the way too.
Yeah.
Because, and we'll talk about this when we get to part three, but I just was thinking about knowing how to make the decisions when the family members, when you have to get to divvying up the estate and yeah. all those things. And we'll talk about that later. But that knowledge there starts it's conversations, early conversations on how to deal with money and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Because poor financial choices and decisions, in my opinion, are 100% rooted in a lack of understanding and awareness about money.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not something, unfortunately, that they teach us in school. They teach us this useless stuff like calculus. I still have no use
She is not calculus.
I still haven't used algebra. You know? I mean, we have financial calculators, and even like even using a calculator is old school. Even using Excel spreadsheet is old school. There are systems. And by the time, you know, we could have this conversation next year, and AI is probably going to be doing most of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, that having that knowledge is hugely, hugely important. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not being taught. But listen, we come from, we're from like black and brown families. A lot of stuff that we need to know isn't being taught in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't see that getting any better. You know, you look at other states and how they are degrading the education that our kids are receiving. And we're in California, we're lucky, but, you know, like for how long, right? But also still not teaching financial skills and readiness. And part of that, I believe, is intentional. Because when people start understanding money, they're going to start making financial decisions that don't necessarily benefit the people that have money,
mm-hmm.
right? Less debt, right? There are people benefiting from less debt. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, it's even things like interest rates, right? Just understanding that the boogeyman isn't always the boogeyman. We're talking about high interest rates. High interest rates are awful if you're trying to buy a home, if you're trying to buy something. But you know what high interest rates are great for? Investing. Because where do you think banks get the money to lend? It's the money that, so like when interest rates are high, it may not be a great time to buy something. It's a great time to save and put your money in a vehicle that is, because those high interest rates are, that's money for you.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just that understanding. Not everything that's good is good. Not everything that's bad is bad. It's all depending on how you look at it. And that's part of where financial education comes from. Credit's not bad. It's bad if you don't use it wisely.
Yeah.
Right? Spending money is not bad. I love to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
But spending money is not helpful if you don't understand what your spending is doing to your overall financial goals. And so when you incorporate your kids into this, it becomes like a daily activity of making choices, right? Understanding the choices, understanding the consequences of those choices and making a choice based on your values. And that it comes down to money also, right? Like you want to go to Disneyland. Here's what we're looking at. Here's what we got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Help me figure out how we're going to make this happen because I want to go to Disneyland too.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than just placing the onus on you as parents to make the world perfect for your kids. The world is never going to be perfect. That's not the point of like existing, is to exist in a perfect world. It's about overcoming things and understanding like, I can do this. Yay. It's like you and your debt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You overcame one step. Yay, I can do the next. I can do the next. That's really like what teaching financial readiness. And if you're an adult and you feel like you don't have that financial readiness,
mm-hmm.
don't be ashamed, because most people don't. Most people do not. And a lot of our undervalued communities absolutely do not.
Yeah.
And so the first real step is to understand what you don't understand. And then just, you know, seek some help. And you can do that with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the things that our parents did, I think we were joking on the break, like my child's never been spanked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She asked me one time, like, spank me so I can see what it's like. I'm like, I'm not gonna spank you. Like, but I grew up in a family that we gave out whoopings. Her father gave out whoopings. Like, but we don't do that anymore because mm-hmm. it doesn't, like, we put that baggage down, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, here's the new tools that we're learning. And we had to learn them as adults.
Yeah.
You know, we had to learn how to actually talk to your kid about why they shouldn't be doing this versus just go pick out your Switch sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's a learning process. You have to learn to be able to teach them better.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't have those. You know, nobody is born knowing everything that they need to know to get through life. The whole purpose of life is to learn and get better and learn and get better and learn and get better and learn and get better. And you never stop. You never stop learning. You never stop getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. Money mastery. Have we covered everything in our agenda for today, Tiffany? I know there's so much.
Yeah, we've got so much. I do want to talk about mindset because we touched on that quite a bit. And I do wealth mindset coaching from both a financial and a psychological perspective. But I want to emphasize, I think everything that we've talked about today starts with mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the seed. And with mindset, it's like a seed. The roots are going to come first. You're not going to see it above ground, right? You got to do the work in. And you may not see the results, but the results are happening. Yeah. And then eventually fruits of your labor will come above ground and you'll see them and you'll benefit from them. But you have to have that seed mindset that you have to be willing to step out of scarcity mode and into a place where, and it's just a decision. It's truly just a decision. You just wake up one day and you say, I've had enough of feeling like enough, I don't have enough,
mm-hmm.
right? Really approaching it with the abundance that, or the belief that there is the abundance,
mm-hmm.
there's enough for everybody. There really is, right? Our systems have arranged it so that there is scarcity, but you can overcome that with your mindset. So I I have a program called Wealth Roots Resonance, mm-hmm. where we talk about, we kind of unveil all of that. And again, from a cultural perspective,
wow.
right? Okay. Because there's, again, talking about even like indigenous populations, there's that generational trauma, lots of generational trauma, particularly surrounding money and finances and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what that is. So you can say like, that's not, I can change that. Like that's a byproduct of from before. I can move forward and do this, right? Of course, descendants of chattel slavery, same thing. Lots of generational trauma. I did 20 years worked with immigrant populations. All the traumas surrounding that, right? And the fear of like legal work and things and the inability to get work permits and things like that. All kinds of, so we really talk about addressing those, but then we also get into like the brass tacks of, it's not full financial analysis because that's a separate thing, but we really need to get into what's underneath, uncovering mm-hmm. what's underneath, and helping you get to the point where you can really do your numbers, right? We're talking, we kind of started off talking about like looking at where your money's going.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to be in a proper mindset to receive that.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you are in a scarcity type mindset, then I very much recommend getting wealth mindset coaching. The way I offer it is very intentional, based on looking at historical traumas and things and how that plays into mm-hmm. your capacity to be, wealth generating mm-hmm. now. But you got to start there because I promise you, I can't make a lot of guarantees,
mm-hmm.
Because of regulatory compliance things. I guarantee you, though, if you change your mindset, your situation will improve. And sometimes you just need a little help getting there. Oftentimes you need help getting there. We all need a little help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so good. That was so good. And I love that encouragement of we just need some help. It's like we're coming to this show today, listening to this show, obviously for the first time. And you may be hearing some things either that you hadn't known or now some truths are being spoken that you have to face.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing, like Tiffany said, like it's hard to realize, again, money is so sensitive. It's a very sensitive subject. And, we get very defensive when we're, feel like someone is looking down on us, or even sometimes we get down on ourselves because we're not in the financial position that we expected to be or that we want to be in. But all it takes is that first step. And the first step is recognizing where you are. And then making a decision to do something different. And no matter what your financial predicament is, you can, you know, get out of it. It may take some work. It may take some years, but it can be done. And I think the first step is it's that mindset. Yeah. How are you viewing this situation? How are you viewing yourself? What are you saying about yourself, about how you got in this situation or being in this situation? And then how can you change your mindset to improve so that you can improve your situation?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like when you were talking about your methods of getting out of debt, mm-hmm. you know, the first you had to decide to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Even if you didn't have the tools, you had to decide. And I had to decide. You have to make the conscious decision that I want to move from scarcity, you know, from just surviving mm-hmm. to thriving, right? Yeah. And you really have to, it's a choice you have to make, because everything that you need for every place in your life you want to be is in existence right now. If you want to live in a survival mode, the tools are there for you. Lord knows the tools are there. If you want to live in thriving mode, the tools are also there for you, right? Yeah. It's just, you have to decide. And a colleague of mine, I was talking to her yesterday. She's also, she's one of these people that's like the smartest people, the most educated people mm-hmm. that I know mm-hmm. and has to be reminded of that sometimes, right? Like just brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I had made the analogy that like, and she corrected me. I mm-hmm. made the analogy that, like I can be sitting here and I'm hungry mm-hmm. and food is in the fridge. I just have to go and get it. Uh-huh. I have to get up and go get it. And she said, yes, and but sometimes people have mobility issues. Sometimes people aren't able to physically and they need help. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciated that correction, because that's basically what our job is to help you.
Yeah.
To help you get to the fridge. To get what you need.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Tell everyone where they can find you.
So my website is tsharplegacywealth.com. From there, you can connect with me. I mean, tsharplegacywealth. If you put that into the Google machine, my Instagram, my LinkedIn, Facebook, all the things, you can find me there. If you want to schedule, I do a free initial consultation. So if you want to talk about estate planning and administration, you want to talk about business formation and development, you want to talk about your money, mm-hmm. right? You want to talk about your money and how to, you know, get to the goals that you want to get to mm-hmm. and whether or not real estate is the kind of investment you want mm-hmm. to take on, you can go to my website and you can schedule a free consultation.
Yeah.
So it's tsharplegacywealth.com. You go up, you click on schedule consultation.
Yeah.
And I don't do consultations over social media. So if you're going to slip in my DMs, send me recipes or something, because I'll direct you to schedule a consultation.
Yeah.
And if you call me, on my voicemail, it does say, like, if you want a consultation, schedule online. And that's for a lot of reasons, but also, I don't want to miss you when I'm meeting with clients and things. I don't take calls. I don't do anything else. I'm totally focused on the people that I'm doing with. So please make sure, you know, that you just schedule a consultation with me. It's free. I mean, you know, there's not much in life that's free. Mm-hmm. I give you a full 55 minutes for free.
That's nice.
But if you do, you know, you can call my office. It's 916-212-6846. Again, you know, you might get my voicemail, because I'm singularly focused on the people I'm working with at that particular time. And but you can schedule a consult. You can even send me a text message to that mm-hmm. to that phone. I want to talk to you. I want to see how I can be of assistance to you mm-hmm. and help you understand what you're capable of. Because mm-hmm. again, I go back to, like, take your goals. Don't double them. Don't triple them. Make them 10 times bigger. Right? Take your goals and aspirations look at them, write them down, and then go, you know what? Not big enough. Make them bigger, and then call me and let's and or schedule a consult and let's see how we can get you there.
I love it. I love it. It's the Wealth Wisdom series, family. Today was the first part of it, and if you didn't get anything out of it, shame on you. But if you want to go back and hear it, you can listen to it when the episode drops this Tuesday. Make sure you're following Miss Wanda's Full Circle Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. We're doing it again next month. And next month we're talking business formation and all of the things around being a business owner, which I'm excited about that because I just have to tell you all the stuff that I've been through off air in finally getting my business to a place where, okay, now we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's how we're doing it, family. Show love to everyone you meet. I have a special thing. Do you remember, Tiffany, do you remember where you were on April 21st, 2016?
April 21st, 2016. Ooh, I don't. It was before, it was like pre-Trump, so... It was pre-COVID, pre-Trump.
It was pre-COVID, pre-Trump.
Probably clueless as to what was going to happen over the next few years.
Well,
probably
that day was a day that I know my life changed forever, and I think yours did too. When I tell you what that day means, so that was the day that Prince died.
How did I not know this?
And I think you like me have a Prince tattoo, right? Do you have a Prince tattoo?
I don't have a Prince tattoo. Oh, okay. But like many, I have a Prince fantasy.
Okay. So well, I have anyway. A Prince tattoo. So there. But yes, yeah, so tomorrow, 8 years tomorrow, we celebrate the passing of Prince. And of course, if you know me personally and have known me from like high school or even any time in my life, you know how huge of an influence Prince was to me. So we're going to leave with a little Prince.
Nice.
Show love to everyone you meet, family, and I'll see you next week. Peace.
Kiss.
This has been Full Circle. Follow our Facebook page at Full Circle 97.5.
Full Circle is sponsored by Serendipity Innovation, a woman-owned technology firm specializing in building technology products that serve and support your health, wealth, and business. If you're new in business, want to refresh your website, or create an app to better serve your customers, reach out to Serendipity Innovation today. Serendipity Innovation is more than just a boutique agency. They are a heart-centered team dedicated to transforming lives through the power of technology, engineering, and emotional well-being. Tell them you heard it on Full Circle for a free consultation. Start the year off right. Get your business in the forefront with Serendipity Innovation. Visit their website at serendipityinnovation.com. That's serendipityinnovation.com.